Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, before we delve into things, I just want to tell you about our Liverpool streaming service. It is Redmen Plus. Get involved over there for extra Redmen shows in video form, in podcast form. You've got documentaries, features, interviews, and a hell of a lot more besides. If you join as a club legend, you get the Discord chat, you'll get free merchandise and a host of extra bonus perks. It's like Netflix for Liverpool fans. Get over there, get involved. Otherwise, let's face it, you're going to miss out on amazing Liverpool stuff in your life.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men TV. It's the build-up show. Yes, Wolves, Liverpool, FA Cup third round replay on Tuesday night. Steve Hall here with Dan Club and John Machen to talk through it all. And yeah, when I was a little lad, if I fell off my bike, my half fella would say to me the best thing to do is get back on it and try again. Liverpool very much need to get back on the bike after a couple of bad weeks. Yeah, you can either hang your heads and you can just give up, or the Reds can go again and try and play themselves back, well, into some type of form and out of this slump that they find themselves in. And John, they get the perfect opportunity to do that on Tuesday night. They draw against Wolves in the third round at Anfield, and I use the word end in as many deceitful ways as I possibly can, but they got themselves a replay on the back of what Jürgen called the worst performance any of his teams have ever put in. They've got a chance to go and put it right against Wolves. And yeah, we are the FA Cup holders. The Premier League season has gone pear-shaped. There's a Champions League on the horizon against Real Madrid. But as it stands, that one's looking ominous. So if you're Jürgen or if you're these players, my guess is you should be chomping at the bit to get back out there and put it right, if your mentality's right. If your mentality's wrong, you're probably thinking you can't be bothered. So I think this Tuesday game is going to be a real test of Liverpool's character there, because, like I say, they really should be thinking, you know, Henderson and Trent and all the tweets afterwards, like, this is wrong, we'll put it right. Well, here's your chance. Go out and prove yourselves. You're not a gang of rubbish footballers. There's something left in there.
I think you're right. I mean, I think, you know, in the right frame of mind, they want to get up into a game as fast as possible after that Brighton shambles. 100%. But, you know, things have been going so bad for some of them. You know, it wouldn't be surprising if some of them were really dreading getting out as quickly against a team like Wolves, who are showing some, you know, sort of resurgence now under the new manager. Mm-hmm. It's really... Well, it's going to tell us a lot, I think, about who's up for it and who's not.
And Dan, like I say, just the way the schedule's worked out, by the way, Jürgen's press conference, as we're recording this, yep, is going to be in about 10 minutes' time. So we'll speak up Wolves now, and then obviously by the time we get to the Liverpool section, we'll hope to have a little bit more idea on fitness and returnees, etc., etc., etc. But whatever team Liverpool put out, there's a job to be done in terms of, like I say, the FA Cup might not be everyone's cup of tea, priority, etc. There's lots of fish to fry. But it is a chance for either players who are in the team to say, actually, no, I'm not, that we're not crap, here's how we are. Or if Jürgen decides to make a couple of changes, there's an opportunity there for someone to keep themselves in the team, because there are very few players in the pool starting 11 who you can just say you should be in the team. There's players in the team reputation-wise, there's players in the team because there's lots of injuries and there's nobody else to play. Yeah. But there are very few actually in the 11 who you think your performances are that good, you're nailed on. You might put Trent in that category, you might throw the goalie in that category. That's about it, really. So if there are changes and a couple of fresh faces, which I'm guessing there will be after a quick turnaround, there's a chance for somebody, whether it's a Naby or even a Ben Doak or whoever, Curtis, whoever comes in, to go, you know what, actually, no, Chelsea the week after, on the weekend, and I deserve to be in the team. That's there for them as well, if they need some motivation.
Yeah, absolutely. So much of this game does come down to mentality, and I wonder whether Jurgen Klopp and Pep Linders will be looking at the squad and going, which of these lads at the minute really fancies it? Like, who fancies Wolves away in the FA Cup third round replay? Like, historically, not many of our big name players would be massively up for that game, but given the slump we're in, you are looking at players and saying, you need to be the ones, like you said with Henderson and Trent, etc., to sort of drag us out and say, no, you know what, we're better than this. We owe ourselves, a professional pride shows more than this. But you're dead right. The likes of Tsimikas, Keita, Fabio Carvalho comes into that mix, Curtis Jones, depending on his fitness. There are lads there who should be looking at our current sort of state and going, do you know what? The minute I get my opportunity, I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to run with that shirt and no one's taking it off me. Listen, the likelihood of that happening seems slim at the minute because it doesn't seem like anyone's really doing that when you do get a chance. But you're dead right. If somebody out of the ordinary, in many senses, does get given a chance to start this football match, he should be running with it.
We'll talk about Liverpool a little bit more in a minute. I say when we hear from Jürgen and injury news, etc. But I want to just talk on the general state of things then, John, because the winner gets Brighton.
it's a chance to get back up. And,
exactly.
You know, show. I mean, how many times have you seen a result which was like that against Brighton, and then when they've had a replay, or the next time they meet, it's totally turned on its head. So, you know, the incentive should be there for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right in saying, like, we're talking about, you know, the redemption arc, Dan. Like I say, it's hard at the minute because we all feel down in the dumps about it. There's a lot of negativity, and rightly so. The lads haven't been performing well. It's pretty quiet on the transfer front. The takeover stuff is kind of half rumbling on, but there's nothing really solid in that. So in terms of positivity, there's not a lot to hang on to. But if you're a footballer, like I say, it's like, you know, I want a chance that I want to beat these, put it right. And then your reward is bright. You know, you go, I go get them and you put it right. You just hope that there's, I don't know, because I listened to the manager the other day. He looked a little bit broken, if truth be told. I was in the away end, like, he comes over and apologises, he was really down in the dumps. He's had a day off, essentially. He's had one day to pick himself back up, back in training, back in press conferences today. Like, there's a lot of, you know, someone's got to motivate the motivator here, and I just, again, that's another thing you've got to work with, like, Jürgen and his team. This is about as difficult a job they've had at Liverpool for a long time. They've come in, they've had worse teams, and they've had, you know, the one that he took over. But the one he took over, there was always the climb. You were on the climb.
Yeah.
Addressing what is a pretty, pretty significant decline, very, very quick one as well.
Yeah.
That's a tough act for a manager and a coaching staff. They've got it in their dough here. And like I say, Tuesday night away at Wolves, which won't be easy, is that's the chance for them to start doing that.
Yeah, it is. And it's all there for them in terms of, like you both said, like, we've got Wolves, we can put that last performance right against them, and then the winner, like I say, gets Brighton, so it's another opportunity. But unfortunately, this season, we've seen so many of these sort of potential false dawns. We've gone, oh, we've got a run of fixtures here now where we can really kick on. Like, I think we played sort of Forest and Leeds in quite quick succession. You look at that and you go, here you go. This squad hasn't been capable of sort of putting that together so far this season. But I think, yeah, Jürgen Klopp, and any professional, for that matter, in any field, should be looking at this as an opportunity and not like, oh, here we go again, like, I've got to go through all this. That shouldn't be the way they are. And if they are, we've got bigger problems than what's going on the pitch right now, quite frankly. So, yeah, I think this is an opportunity, as is the potential Brighton game on the back of it as well. One that I'm not entirely overly confident we're going to take, just because of the way the season's gone. Like, it has been a rapid decline, really, from the outset, and we've never truly looked ourselves at any point during the campaign so far. It's not too late to start putting that right. It's just got to happen very quickly.
I'm worried because he had a whole month or 6 weeks to try and reset the whole team. And now he's got a day to try and reset.
Came back
it.
Worse.
So, you know, he's not really got any choice about systems. He can't coach a brand new system. He's just got to go with what he's got.
It's going to be a personnel change if anything changes. Let's look at it from a Wolves point of view, then I'll stick with you, John. They are very, very, very annoyed that they're not already in the fourth round because they think they should be, and by all accounts, they probably should be. That goal was, whatever, I mean, it was tight at best.
Another VAR mess.
It was a bit of a shambles, really. And the fact that no one even to this day knows that the guy was offside, conclusively, evidence, etc., etc. Lopetegui mentioned straight after the game, you know, he was disappointed. He even asked clarification, didn't he? For, I think he sent it to the authorities. Ruben Neves said, you know, we drew 3-2 or something along those lines. Like, they are, you know, I think that's actually going to be quite hostile. I think they're really angry.
There's nothing going for us in this game.
They're really angry, aren't they? And that's, you usually think, oh, Tuesday, third round replay, it'll be all right. I think Molineux's going to be bouncing because they've got every right to have a bit of a bee in the bonnet. Lopetegui will get them going because you know what he's like on the sidelines. The fans already feel hard done by conspiracy theories aplenty. It almost feels like we're going. It's like, you know, it's Wolves versus everybody. That's how they're feeling. And going into an away game where our away form has been dreadful, a bouncing stadium, perhaps with a siege mentality. Again, this is where characters are needed because it's got all the recipe, all the ingredients rather of another crap shit show. Basically, unless Liverpool can address that, because everything's against them here.
Well, I mean, you've got all the characters in our team who you'd want to be on the pitch in a game like this are all the characters you don't want to be on the pitch because they're not playing well. They look lacking in energy, lacking in pace. They just don't seem to be up for it at all. So I'm really glad I'm not Jurgen Klopp trying to do something for this game. But you're right. I mean, we've just got to hope that players actually have a bit of pride in themselves and in their performance and actually, you know, play the system that is actually being given to them to play and not the one they might have played last year when we were on top form.
The flip side, Dan, is like, again, even if they are up for it, there seems to be a bit of a lack of quality at the moment as well, which is the worry. And yeah. I'm looking at Wolves here. So in terms of injuries, Diego Costa could be back. There's talk that he might be, although they did all right without him at the weekend. Mm-hmm. I think Neto's still a long-term one, and Oliveira, Chiquinho, whatever they call him, he's out for a long time. A couple of other ones as well, I think, is out. But like, they're generally quite healthy. They're getting a lot of lads back. They had a very good win at the weekend. You know, Lopetegui's clearly he's starting to influence that team. They're trying to get themselves out of what is a big old hole. It's usually because, like, if they were in dire relegation, and as it stands, they're not out of it by any means, but they do feel like they're a team who are on the up when, you know, they got themselves to 16th place. Now, sometimes if you're playing a team who are almost certainly going to be in a relegation battle come April, they can jib the FA Cup. I don't get the sense Wolves, they made a couple of changes against Anfield, but then he brought the senior lads back on. This isn't like you're going away where a team's just throwing it in. Like, there's a very good chance he just picks a very, very strong team. And he's got options, like I say. The team that played the other day, I think Cunha played up front, where he could easily bring Jimenez back in, for example. They've got options.
Yeah.
We're not going to get a weakened Wolves. We're going to get a pretty strong Wolves.
Yeah, there's a chance we get a stronger one than last time, because what Lopetegui's done since he's gone in there, he has started to sort of turn the ship around now. And he's probably facing in the right direction, you'd say, especially after that win at the weekend. Huge six-pointer, if you like, in the Premier League. And Pedence obviously came back into the side, having missed, the first game, the only game that should have been, really, in many cases. So, yeah, things are sort of on the up for Wolves, and he probably wants to keep that momentum going. Like, we've seen it with Southampton as well, a couple of cup wins bleeds into a Premier League win, and I think Lopetegui's got a similar thing going. You don't want to halt that. If you're performing well and you're getting the results, no matter what competition, you want to keep that going. We did it last year in a very similar sense. It was bleeding success, if you like, just going and going and going, and you weren't stopping. So I don't think Wolves will be holding back at all in this one, whether it be team selection or their commitment to the cause, especially given what went on at Anfield and, like you say, the sort of cries of corruption from the fans. I think they are going to be bang up for this one, which is really concerning, because not only is our quality being miles off it, as you sort of referenced there, when we've gone to any away ground, but particularly hostile ones where they can get on your back, we have crumbled big time at times this season, and that's a massive concern for this one.
It is, yeah. I suppose also, John, it could be the Mateus Nunez audition part two, because he came on at the home game. And certainly had a major impact on Wolves. He started at the weekend against West Ham, and again, by all accounts, had a decent enough game of it, and there's a very good chance he starts again. I know they've signed Lamina, but he probably starts this one because of Lopetegui, who saw out the impact he had off the bench the other day. So yeah, it's another chance for us to get a closer look at the lad who, you know, there's talk that people have got a deal lined up for him in the summer. I mean, they probably could do with getting a deal lined up for somebody else in the next couple of weeks, but we're nowhere near that yet. But it is another chance for us to get a good look at him. I mean, hopefully, from our point of view, he doesn't play particularly well, but yeah, that's an interesting dynamic, especially for him, because he must know that there's a very good chance I'm going to Liverpool. What better way to maybe get myself a move to Liverpool and run rings around them for 90 minutes. It won't do him no harm if he does that.
No, it won't. Better that than he has a terrible game, even though that's what we would want at the moment. Yeah, I mean, that's just another added bit of spice to the game, isn't it? I mean, in fairness to the way we played against Wolves last week, I think we were pretty evenly matched against them. But you know, I mean, if you look at the stats and all that, we weren't way off it. Whereas against Brighton, there was no comparison between the two sides. They were so much better than us. You know, it's sad to say, but us and Wolves are probably on a par at the moment in the league.
That was a weakened Wolves as well, though. But they weren't full strength either. They had a few missing. So
we were the same way. We were not actually full strength either yet, are we? But I don't know. We might surprise ourselves, who knows?
You never know, but like I say, Dan, you're talking confidence-wise, that I know West Ham are having a bit of a tough time of it recently as well, but like winning 1-0, again, and that was at home, so you're guessing really, like, the same crowd going a couple of days later, just the players should be sound. Like I said, you're hoping for a bit of fatigue or a bit of like whatever in terms of them, but they've still got options, like I say, to make changes. Mm-hmm. From our point of view, Liverpool, and again, we'll wait for clarification on like injuries and stuff, but we were looking at the team that played the other day. Like, there are options on the bench, but there's nobody like banging the door down to be in the team. If Jürgen changes it, he's changing it probably more in hope than expectation. There's no one there, he goes, right, I'm going to put you in the team and you're going to solve all our problems. There's no one there at the moment, really. I mean, we'll see clarification on Darwin, perhaps we might fall into that category, but other than that, whatever he changes, it looks like it's going to be more of a, either you're dropping a few lads, you're after a bit of fresh legs, or you're just changing it because you're thinking, well, I need some type of reaction because we can't just do what we've just done there and lay another huge turn on the middle of the Molyneux pitch.
No, you're right. And that's what's most concerning probably about our form in general, really. There is no one you can turn to. Like, when we had the horrendous season, obviously centre-back injuries, it was so obvious, it was blindingly obvious to people why we were struggling. Like, we went through that dreadful run, but we had no centre-half. Like, that was it. But we look at this one, yes, there's a few injuries, but at the same time, there's lads there in the 11 in particular who should be good enough to sort of solve the problems that we're facing, but there isn't. So you turn to the bench, and there's no one on the benches. Like, there's some talent there with Carvalho and Elliot and the like and Ramsey and stuff, but not one of them players you can go, like, you're the man to come and change this. And that isn't really going to change for this match, I don't think. It's going to be up to the 11, maybe 12, if Nunes is back involved, to solve the problems and to sort of address this terrible run of performances. So it's worrying. It's really worrying. And again, I hate to come back to it, but that's why we should be in the market. We really should, because we need some impetus. That midfield department needs some impetus from somewhere. And it's not coming from the lads we've got available to us right now.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Well, it says something that your understudy for Fabinho is Bacetic, which, talented as he is,
he's been injured as well.
Yeah, he's got injured. He's a kid.
You saw what it was like when he came up against De Bruyne. You know, he's not really going to stamp his authority on a game just yet. And you're bringing in Doak, who's still really young and raw. It's that engine room again, as we've talked about this morning in the final word, that it just isn't firing at all. And we have no understudies who could come in and replace those guys.
I wonder, Faye wrote in our Discord chat here, Faye Beattle, play a mix of the kids and experience. And that's one way you can get legs into the team, I suppose. Dan, if worst case is, you might just be able to say, if Bacetic is all right, or I don't know, like a youngster, just that, whether it is a Doak, for example, just a little bit of youthful inexperience or, you know, disregard of whatever, I'm just going to run around lots and lots and lots. Because at the minute, there is a lack of quality, but there's also a lack of legs, and it might just be, it takes a young lad to just come in and just run around a little bit. Like, that's what we found ourselves now. It's not like, it's far from ideal. You'd much rather have another world-class player coming on, but we haven't got any even available or whatever. Injuries, signings haven't happened or not going to happen. There's a chance where he could just say, right, Faye could be right, it could be like 7, 8, 9 first-teamers and a couple of youngsters. So you might see a Doak or a Bacetic or a Ramsey or somebody just to give them something.
100% there's scope for that. I think Harvey Elliott actually falls into that category as well, because although he's obviously played a lot of first-team football now and he was one of our senior figures early season, he's been pulled out of the limelight a little bit. And I think this game is a huge opportunity for Klopp to say, right, we've dragged you away, your performances weren't really up to scratch, but neither is anybody else's, by the way. So you're going back in now. And he did show when he came on the weekend, though the game was gone by then, he was one of the lads, like you say, he's kind of buzzing around, getting about, putting tackles in, trying something, because, like, God knows that's all we were looking for at that point. We weren't going to get back into the match, but we wanted the lads to show a little bit, and Elliot did do that. So I definitely think there's scope to mix it up, because the strongest frontline 11 that we've been sending out for the last couple of weeks isn't getting the job done. It's as simple as that. It just isn't getting the job done. So I think for this one, you almost inclined, you almost got to throw a couple of youngsters and say, you go out there and you show what you're all about then.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is that you can't afford to lose another football match. You've got to do everything you possibly can to try and win this, even if, I mean, I know people who are saying, oh, let's just the FA Cup, we don't need it, let's jib it and we'll, you know, concentrate on the league. Mm-hmm. You can't afford to have, you know, more defeats, because the team is on its knees already. More and more, you put more and more pressure on their shoulders, you know, by getting beat again.
Yeah. You're hoping the green shoot recovery starts at Molineux, and
then they carry on
to Chelsea, and then it's hope more than expectation right now. But you are right. They can't, again, and also we're not good enough to just jib competitions.
We're not good enough to pick and choose football matches, let alone competitions. Yeah. We're not good enough to pick and choose football matches. Yeah. Anyway, we need something somewhere to give Klopp and us as fans a little bit of hope to say, oh no, we are all right and we will be okay. And listen, it's got to start now. Really, it's got to start.
Yeah, as it stands, Jürgen's doing his press conference, so we'll keep an eye on that one. Like I say, injury news update, etc., etc. We're going to take a quick break to give you guys a heads up on our latest competition prize if you want to get involved and win yourself some signed Liverpool memorabilia. Before we go to it, I do have a trivia question for you. So I want to know, guys, who scored the only goal of the game the last time Liverpool won an FA Cup third round replay? Who scored the only goal of the game the last time Liverpool scored? Sorry, the last time Liverpool won an FA Cup third round replay. Take a listen or a look at this amazing prize offer, and we'll be back with the answer to that question after these quick messages.
A few weeks ago, I was lucky enough to sit down with Liverpool left-back Kostas Tsimikas. I was able to get an interview with him, to get some quick-fire questions done, and I was lucky enough to host a Q&A with him and John Aldridge at Hotel Anfield in Liverpool. Now, while I was there, I also managed to get him to sign this Liverpool shirt for you guys. So if you want to be in with a chance to win this incredible signed Kostas Tsimikas shirt, then all you need to do is go to redmenplus.com and sign up as a club legend for this month's prize draw.
Yeah, do you get yourselves involved, Redmen Plus? Like I say, get in the Discord chat, whatever you're doing as a club legend, and we can all have a big virtual cuddle together as we try and navigate through this mess of Liverpool. But yeah, Kostas Tsimikas signed shirt will be given away at the end of this month to one of our club legend subscribers. So if you want to get yourselves involved, please do so. Right then, before the break, I asked you who was the last time, sorry, put that in English, who scored the only goal of the game the last time Liverpool played an FA Cup third round replay. They won that game Dan, was you were thinking the Shrewsbury route, but yeah, that ended up, that was actually the fourth round. So
that was an own goal, that I remember that was. One. Yeah. Other than that, I don't know. I was looking at Klopp's press conference.
No idea.
Someone in the MD95 got it right. It was Lucas against Plymouth.
Wow.
Back in 2017. And I will show you the team that Liverpool put out in that game, actually. Of, we had Karius, Gomez, Moreno, Trent, Coutinho, Lucas was the captain, Kev Stewart, Ajaria, Sturridge, Origi and Ben Woodburn, and then a bench of Clavin, Randall, Williams, Ojo, Wilson and Paulo Alves, who, I'll be honest, I don't know who that is. I do apologise to Paulo and his family there. I don't know. But yeah, that's how we used to do the FA Cup third round. I think it might be a little bit different this time. That was a long time ago, 2017, last time Liverpool actually played the third round replay. They've gotten past it a few times, but yeah, there we are then. Speaking then, let's move on to Liverpool. We've had a bit of an update, John, on the injury situation. So he says Darwin's close, but it's Monday, which half suggests that he's probably not going to play. He said...
He might be on the bench.
Potentially. Bacetic is fit and Milner's fit. So let's jump straight into it then. Midfield, does Bacetic play? Does Milner play? Does Keita play? Does he change all three of them? Does he go, you know what, bin all yous off? What do you think he should do? What do you think he's going to do there?
I have a feeling he will play Milner.
I do as well.
I'm not sure where particularly, because he's so versatile, he can end up anywhere, couldn't he? But maybe just that energy that he's got in midfield just to spark us up a little bit. I mean, personally, and I said this on the final word, I'd like to see Ox playing in the right side of midfield where he was so brilliant before his bad injury. Mm-hmm. That would give us some look, because he's still got pace and he's got an eye for goal. I'd quite like to see that. But I do suspect Jimmy Milner might actually play there and Henderson in the holding role.
He's already hinted again. I've got Jürgen in the press conference. He says, yeah, we'll make changes, but we'll be as strong as we can. We need fresh legs. And he's also hinted, like I say, it makes sense to make changes. So he's already doing that. We're not going to get the same 11, Dan. Mm-hmm. I say this, like, you could take any of them out. You really could. So it's just a case of what his priorities are and stuff like that. My guess is, in terms of actual options, in terms of numbers, we've got all of our midfielders are pretty much fit except half a Mello, who we haven't seen much of anyway. Everyone's actually fit, whether they're good enough is a separate question. He's got full backs available to himself. Yep. So there's an option for Tsimikas, for example, who we mentioned before with the signed shirt. But he's got Gomez, he's got Nat Phillips.
Yep.
There's plenty going on there. John mentioned before about the lack of training time, because one of my questions was change the shape. Go again, because, and then someone wrote in the YouTube comments actually, it was Amazmus, who says insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. He hasn't really got time to change the shape. You should think one training session. I just can't see how he would be able to do that.
The question is, does he go with the tinkered side, the system that he played against Brighton, which the players obviously didn't opt into?
Didn't know what he was doing.
No.
Or whether he goes back to his tried and tested and hope that bringing in fresh legs will give him the energy to get the press going.
Mm. What that slight alteration in system and shape did do on the weekend was got Thiago completely out of the game. So yeah, probably wouldn't go with that one again, to be honest with you, because he, like, for all our faults this season, he's been one player you kind of say, yeah, he's done well. He's not done perfectly, but he's done well. So to sort of eliminate him from the football match entirely isn't the way I'd go about it whatsoever. On formation, I'd just be 4-3-3, and I say it because not that I want to see 4-3-3 again, because I agree with the point in terms of insanity, same thing again, repetition, etc. It's clearly not working. It's clearly broken. But at the same time, I don't think Klopp wants to go away from 4-3-3 ever. I don't think he has done previously. He's kind of been forced upon him. This time, there's an argument to say it is forced upon him because the performances are so poor, but he just hasn't got time. He hasn't got the personnel to do it. He hasn't got the forwards to do it with, really. If you want to go to like a 4-2-4, who's he going to use in the forward areas? Nobody naturally fits into that 4-2-4 now, especially with Nunes unlikely to feature. No Bobby knocking around. You can't have a 10 in Bobby. Doesn't happen for me, no. 4-3-3.
The only other option, if it is 4-3-3, then he's got a decision to make left wing. I can't see him, and I might be wrong, I can't see him trotting Ox out there again. I might be completely wrong on that, John, but he does have Carvalho. There's certainly Ben Doak. I think a lot of people will be asking, can we just have the young lad for a bit of something? Whether he's a left winger is a different question. But
no, I think he's a right winger, and why would you put him as a raw kid in a wrong position. It just makes sense. It doesn't make sense. I mean, and I don't think he played, whatever you say, I don't think he played very well when he came on the other day. You know, he looked a bit out of his depth, and, you know, to actually put him in the wrong position seems a bit ridiculous. But sorry, Jürgen, didn't mean to call you ridiculous. I mean, personally, I would play Gakpo on the left. And I would play Elliot on the right and Salah in the middle. Mm. And I know people say Elliot hasn't got the pace, but, you know,
Oxlade-Chamberlain's not exactly Usain Bolt, is it?
If you played Oxlade-Chamberlain behind him, then you've got a little bit something going there.
Dan, in terms of the Mo Salah question, do you play him through this? Mo Salah doesn't really play FA Cup. He's played the last one, obviously. He's played a lot recently. Do you go again with him? Can you afford not to have him in the team? Because this is the thing, is that when you have injuries up front, it means your other lads have to play all the time. Mm-hmm. Like he might need looking after, I don't know. It could be where we see Mo on the bench. It'd be a big call because, like I say, Liverpool are in a good moment, but this is the situation you find yourselves in. No Diaz, no Jota, Darwin hopefully coming back relatively soon, no Bobby Firmino. Salah's going to be playing every single game. You've got to be careful. You can't afford to lose him as well.
No, we absolutely can't. And that was what was crossing my mind there as you were talking, in terms of, I mean, the temptation would be there to go again with Salah, because we've already said we want to win the football match, and Salah will want to get his form back as well, as much as we're not playing well as a whole unit. Salah will know. He's a very, you know, proud, one of the best footballers in the world when he's on his day. And he'll know he's not been at it recently. He'll know his own individual performances have been below par. So he'll be desperate to sort of get back to his heights. Having said all that, the issue is with sort of not playing him is the lack of brilliant options we've got there. And I know we never have them because Salah is always going to be the number one in that position. But you need something. Like, we had Jota, we had Minamino, we had Diaz, potentially could have gone over there. All them aren't around anymore. So to go from Salah to Ben Doku, I do think is a talent, or Harvey Elliott, who we've already sort of said to him, listen, you're not a winger anymore. That drop-off is huge, absolutely huge. If we're going into this football match and we want to win it, but we're not going to play Salah, we're going to play a 17-year-old or somebody technically out of position now, that's not a great look for us. So I'd be tempted to go with him again and say, listen, you're going to get an hour and off you come.
You're going to be doing the starting 11 prediction show later, so you're going to be asking, you're going to be doing what you think Jürgen's going to do. Mm-hmm. But let's have a little think about what you would do if you're in the hot seat, on the hot seat. So we'll start with you, John. Obviously, we know Alisson will play because he's the FA Cup goalie. There's nothing wrong there.
Yeah, I'd still play Trent, and I'd play Gomez and Konate, and I'd play Tsimikas at the back.
Yeah.
In midfield, I've already said I would have Ox, and I would have Henderson in the holding role as a DM, and Thiago, because he's the only creative influence we have in the side. So, you know, going as strong as you can in midfield, you know, in terms of experience and legs and whatever. And then up front, I'd have Elliot, Suarez, that would be lovely. Salah, and I'd play Gakpo on the left. I do think you might think I've had Gakpo on too much already and I might leave him out. I think that might be a
call. He mentioned, he just said in the press conference, I've got two strikers and the rest of them are fielders, so it sounds like he hasn't got a chance to leave them out. That's where he's at now. Like I say, there's not an ideal. Go on then, Dan. That was John's 11. What would you be doing?
Yeah, I think I'd go with the same back five. I think Trent, definitely. A lot of people will think maybe not, but I think he's one of the few who has been informed recently, and he was one of the few who looked like, after the game, he thought, this isn't right. We obviously seen his tweets and stuff, but he looks like one of the lads who's determined to sort of change the way we're going now. Midfield-wise, I'd probably be different. I'd probably go Elliot in the midfield on the right-hand side of it. I'd probably go Milner in the six and Keita alongside him. So I'd change all three in there. I think that's the one place we need to just make three sweeping changes. And then I'd probably be going, this is really true, I'd probably go Salah from the right hand side as usual, Gakpo from the left, and through the middle, I'd probably go Ox through the middle, potentially in the nine, or Carvalho, one of those two. That's the trickiest one.
I would play Pacetic, Milner and Naby. I'd change all three of them as well. Yeah. And then this again, half looking after them a little bit. And if Thiago, listen, I wouldn't be annoyed if Thiago played. He isn't the major issue here. Liverpool have got, in terms of the front three, I would move Gakpo. I don't think he's a centre forward.
No.
I will play Salah centre forward and play Harvey Elliott on the right wing. And Widger on the back four, by the way. Actually, I say this, I think I'd give Matt Phillips a game as well.
I'd be tempted.
I think I'd go Gomez and Phillips and take both of them out, taking out Matt about. Again, look, half looking after them, half a little bit of a kick up the arse. And like I say, I don't think there's anything wrong with just having have some footy in Nat Phillips, because you're probably going to need them. You're one injury away pretty much and maybe need them a little bit more. So he thought he was going again this month, and the Van Dijk injuries kind of scuppered. So I think that's what I would do. But yeah, there's nothing in there that's like... there's nothing in there that's making you jump for joy, that's for sure. Elsewhere then, obviously, in the FA Cup, we know the prize on the horizon, John, is Brighton. We've seen the way the cup draws worked out. There's a couple of other good teams maybe going out. Like, where are we in terms of a cup run now, in terms of Liverpool's season? Because I don't know if we need something to cheer about. And last year, the FA Cup win was brilliant. I loved every second of it. It was a different team, and we were very much in a different moment. But where are we just in terms of the FA Cup as a general now? Is it a good distraction? Is it something we could just do with getting out of the way?
I mean, as a club, you set out to win everything you go into, and I don't think that's changed particularly. And we've said, you really will test the mettle of your players if they get themselves up for this Wolves game so quickly after the Brighton game. And for them to want to go back, I would expect that every one of those players would want to go back to Brighton and turn it around.
Yeah.
You know, so, and if you do that, get past Wolves and Brighton, then I think you think to yourself, well, we can win this again.
City or Arsenal, one of them's going out, obviously, yep, in the next round as well. There's a couple of other teams who've got plenty of ticky draws, some with the easier draws as well. But yeah, that's where we're at now, isn't it? Damsdike, like, it's still the best chance of already winning something at the moment. You know what I mean? With Real Madrid, looming large, but that looks a mad. We look miles away from beating Real Madrid at the moment. We couldn't beat them with our best team. Never mind this shambles that we've got going out. So, like, again, my thinking on this is that we could really do with the confidence of just beat the E's, hopefully get something against Chelsea, go to Brighton and maybe just change it around a little bit. And again, that is all hope rather than expectation, but that's where we are now. We're living with hope, aren't we? Because we've done this team, they've done nothing to give us any expectations. They don't deserve any expectations because they haven't played well enough to have any.
No, as grim as a comparison this is, like I mentioned Southampton and Wolves before, both getting results in cups and they're kind of transforming their Premier League form. We could do a little bit of that. Like that, I'm fully aware that's a really grim comparison because they're two relegation threatened sides. However, we need some form of confidence within these players, within the manager, etc. And as a fan base, we need something to cling on to because Lord knows it hasn't looked like coming for a period of time now. And even if it means we can go on a run later on the season because our FA Cup form's been okay, we've kind of got ourselves back playing well in that. And even if it means we are capable when it comes to that Real Madrid game of giving them a game as a minimum and potentially getting past it, then this is huge. The FA Cup suddenly becomes huge. It can be something more than a distraction if you look at it in the right way. And I'm not suggesting we go full strength throughout because that's not likely. But if we can kind of mix and match, get some minutes into some important players and get some confidence back into some key players, it can be really important. That's what the FA Cup has always been, well, for a few years now, particularly under Jurgen Klopp. And this should be no different. We should be going into this thinking, let's go on a run. Let's just go. We won this last year. We really enjoyed it. Let's just go on a run. Let's have a go and let's just see what happens.
Get some confidence back, you're right. And then we get some players back at the end of January before we face Real Madrid. Yeah. And hopefully we can then, you know, put them under a bit of pressure over two legs.
Fingers crossed, that's where we're at then, right then, guys. So having said all that, I think it's fair to say we're more hopeful rather than expecting, like I said before. Before I get your score predictions, I'm going to have a little time to think about it. Just let you guys know, watching or listening. Jürgen just has a press conference. If you keep an eye out on our YouTube channel or on all our podcasting services, just search for the Red Men TV. You'll be able to watch or listen to that very, very shortly. We'll have that downloaded and out for you guys. Like I mentioned before, Dan will be over at the board very shortly to do the Starting 11 prediction show. Again, available both in podcast and video form here on YouTube. And then, yeah, the game itself, Tuesday night, it'll be me and Chris Pajak in studio for the watch-along. Come and join us from 6:45, so 6:45 UK time. We'll react to the team news. Then a little bit later on, we'll be there for the whole watch-along as well. Paul's going down to the game, so we'll have you covered from Molineux and here from the stadium on Red Men TV. So yeah, keep an eye out on all of that. Right then, guys, I've mumbled on a little bit there. I've stalled for you. Score predictions, Dan.
We'll put that debacle from the weekend to bed. Let's have it. Let's go Liverpool 2-1.
When you said that, I thought you were going to go really like 5-0.
Oh, come on. Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm going to, almost the opposite. I'm going to say we're going to win on penalties.
Oh,
I think it's going to penalties as well. I think it's going to pens. And we're going to be my sub Keith Keller on to save a couple of them. Like maybe, I don't know. Yeah, that, I think it's going to be a long old night there. I think one. I think one all, and the Reds win on pens. But yeah.
Is it straight to pens? No. Or extra
straight to pens, isn't it?
I don't know. I thought extra, I've got no issue. We probably should have figured that one out.
If it's straight to pens, then I'm in for that. I'm not in for extra time. Damn it, yeah.
I think it's straight to pens.
Is there extra time in FA Cup? In FA Cup replays?
Because there's no replays after this round. I do know that. This is the... Oh, no, the fourth round. There's no replays after the fourth round.
Yeah, this is the last time they have any. Yeah. No. Games end in a draw. There will be 30 minutes of extra time, according to the FA website.
Right. God help us, then.
I mean, we'll find out tomorrow. Probably should have known. I reckon it's going down to... Whatever way, it's going to penalties, is my feeling. It's going to be a long, old night here. Do come and join us. John, welcome back. Nice to have you.
Thank you very much.
Dan, thank you, as always. Get yourself ready for that show. Thank all you guys for watching or listening to the build-up show, like I say, over on Red Men Plus. Tons. Dan's had two expert insights recorded, all takeover related. They'll be out today and tomorrow. Talk about all the Middle East reported interest in Liverpool, getting some info behind that. We'll have Neil Jones back later this week. I think that's going to be Friday. A little change to the usual schedule. We've got tons and tons over there. And like I say, if you sign up for a couple of legends, you might get a chance to win that Kostas Tsimikas. Kostas Tsimikas signed shirt.
Right,
that was hard, we'd say. But yeah, right, get yourselves involved in that. And yeah, we'll be back for the watch along on Tuesday night. So everyone, take care, and I'll see you all then.
Thanks for listening. If you want even more Bosch content and podcasts just like this, go over to redmenplus.com and sign up now.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.